Oh, yeah, baby, it's Friday.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1902 UTC on a beautiful November 12th, 2021. That means you guessed it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Not really. Sorry, folks, but it
Resistance
is...
Resistance is futile.
It is Friday. Do not worry. The event is happening. The weekend is upon us. Hoo-wee! Pretty excited about it. You know, there's always something going on. I want to say hello and welcome. If you would like to chat during the show or participate, especially during News to Me and the Dubious Goals Committee, there's a lot of action going on in COM, which is the program on SDF. All you have to do is SSH over to SDF.org. If you don't have an account, just use new at SDF.org, N-E-W. And once you do, you will be able to sign up for an account. And once you're there, just type COM, C-O-M, press enter. And you'll press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom, you are in the room. You can press H for help, and it'll give you all the different key commands. It is much different than IRC. IRC, so it can be a little bit to get used to, but once you do, it's a lot of fun. So definitely check that out if you want to hang out. And yeah, there's a lot of news. So just want to be shout out to Bob Junkman, X1, and Ratsu, and Megan. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. Let's go ahead and get some karmas doled out here real quick. All right. And I do want to remind you, in addition to Dubious Goals Committee, something blues at 2,000 hours, but this is the exciting part. Hold on. Let me make sure I have the schedule pulled up right. Because, get this, there's a show that I think you might dig, and that's called The Intergalactic Wasabi Mix, and that happens at... on a Saturday night and Sunday night at 2300 UTC. So check that out too. All right, let's go ahead and get going. We got a lot of news, like I said, so we're going to go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start, and that's...
World News.
That's right, with the world.
World News.
World News. All right, so first, Danny Finster, a Myanmar court has jailed a U.S. journalist for 11 years. A Myanmar military court has sentenced journalist Danny Finster to 11 years in jail. He was found guilty of breaching immigration law, unlawful association, and encouraging dissent against the military. He was earlier this week slapped with two additional charges of sedition and terrorism, which carry a maximum sentence of life imprisonment. His trial on the new charges will begin on November 16th. He's 37 years old and was the managing editor of online site Frontier Myanmar, and was detained at Yangon International Airport in May. He's one of dozens of local journalists that have been detained since a military coup in February. According to Frontier, Finster had earlier worked for Myanmar Now, an independent news site that had been critical of the military since the coup. Charges are all based on the allegation that he was working for banned media outlet Myanmar Now. Danny had resigned from them in July 2020 and joined Frontier the following month, so at the time of his arrest in May 2021, he'd been working for Frontier for more than 9 months. There is absolutely no basis to convict Danny of these charges. But they have. So, that gives you all you really need to know about what's going on with the junta over there in Myanmar. According to FFOG, hello, hello, welcome, welcome. What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm all over the place. Focus. We're talking about
World News.
So, trigger warning, this is about a story about sexual assault. French prosecutors investigate female soldiers' alleged rape at LSC Palace. Prosecutors have opened an inquiry into an alleged rape of a female soldier by a fellow serviceman at the French presidential palace in Paris last July, a judicial source told AFP on Friday. The alleged assault took place last July after a going-away reception for a general and two others that was attended by President Emmanuel Macron, according to French daily Libération, which first reported the accusations. The accused soldier was named an assistant witness after questioning by prosecutors on July 12th, a status indicating he remains subject to further interrogations but has not been formally charged, the judicial source said. Macron's office has made avoiding presidential scandals a priority since the embarrassing revelations that one of his bodyguards assaulted young demonstrators during a May protest in 2018. Last week, the bodyguard, Alexander Benalla, was handed a 3-year sentence over the incident, though under French sentencing rules, he will avoid a cell and only have to wear an electronic bracelet for a year. According to Liberation, the two soldiers were colleagues deployed at the High Security Office at the Elysee Palace dealing with sensitive government matters, most of them classified or top secret. So, anyway, sorry, I'm not sure. I was just trying to see what was going on, and I've missed it. It said that the young woman filed the complaint, and has been removed from duty. Okay, so the accused, the aggressor has been removed from duty. So anyway, that's the assault story. It's just a bummer. It's kind of, it's just wild, because this is like the highest ranks of the French military. But anyway, that's just something to know. So, speaking of things to know, here are the things to know about the border crisis between Belarus and Poland. Thousands are now gathered near the line that divides the two countries. People leaving Belarus are not allowed to enter Poland with a giant barbed wire fence and masses of security forces deployed by Warsaw barring their way. They're stuck in freezing temperatures without access to vital supplies or medical care as fears for their safety mount. So, 3,000 to 4,000 people are there on the border. Human rights groups and global bodies have raised concerns for their well-being. Aid workers, lawyers, and journalists have been prevented from accessing critical border areas on both sides. So, and this all is because of the stuff going on between the EU and Belarus, and also sanctions that the U.S., the U.S. and the EU put on them. So, anyway, I guess, yeah, Al Jazeera is just rehashing what we've been talking about the last few days. So yeah, don't go to Poland, don't go to Belarus, at least not for a while. What else is happening? Oh man, I lost my steam. Sorry.
World news:
Western countries are slamming New Sudan army-led. Come on, guys. Some stories. This Friday, it seems like lots of people are rehashing their earlier-in-the-week stories, which causes trouble. Here's something new. U.S. has started sanctions against the Eritrean army and its ruling party over the Ethiopian conflict. So the U.S. has sanctioned the Eritrean army and the country's ruling party for contributing to the crisis and conflict in Ethiopia, which has displaced more than 2.5 million people and killed thousands. In a statement on Friday, the U.S. Treasury Department said it was sanctioning the Eritrean Defense Forces and the People's Front for Democracy and Justice, as well as other individuals and entities. The Eritrean military's presence in Ethiopia, the department said, is an impediment to ending the ongoing fighting and increasing humanitarian access. We condemn the continued role played by Eritrean actors who are contributing to the violence in northern Ethiopia. The sanctions come just days after the UN political chief Rosemary DiCarlo warned that Ethiopia risked descending into a widening civil war. Hey, GTC 1977. Welcome, welcome. Welcome from outside, Ratsu. I wonder what's going on there. Sorry, I've tried to read calm, and I couldn't figure it out. So yeah, this is kind of a funny story, or a funky story to me, because Eritrea and... Oh, hold on, I want to make sure I say this right. So, Eritrea is a multi-ethnic country with 9 recognized ethnic groups, and it borders the north of, it's north of Ethiopia. Sorry, I'm having trouble. I don't know what's up. My brain's not working. Following the UN, here we go. This is what I was trying to find. The creation of modern-day Eritrea is a result of the incorporation of independent, distinct kingdoms. For example, Medri Bahiri and the Sultanate of Assa, eventually resulting in the formation of Italian Eritrea. After the defeat of the Italian colonial army in 1942, Eritrea was administered by the British military administration until 1952. Following the UN General Assembly decision, Eritrea would govern itself with a local Eritrean parliament, but for foreign affairs and defense, it would enter into a federal status with Ethiopia for 10 years. However, in 1962, the government of Ethiopia annulled the Eritrean parliament and formally annexed Eritrea. The Eritrean secessionist movement organized the Eritrean Liberation Front in 1961 and fought for the War of Independence, until Eritrea gained de facto independence in 1991. Eritrea gained de jure independence in 1993. Eritrea is a unitary, one-party presidential republic. But this is the history that I was trying to find, because I really wanted to share that with you guys, because this is what's going on with why there's this conflict. Because the part where the Tigray Liberation Front people are, that's a spot that Eritrea thinks should be part of their country. And so it's kind of this battle going on. That's all. Sorry, I know it kind of took away from the news, but that's why I'm interested in the Ethiopia-Eritrean conflict. Let's do some lighter stuff before we play a song.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This is some kitty news.
Meow, meow, meow.
That's my cat noise. Cats track their owners' movements, research finds. If you've ever pondered whether your pet cat gives you whiskers about your whereabouts, researchers may have an answer. Cats appear to track their owners as they move about the house and are surprised if they turn up somewhere they're not expecting them. The finding supports the idea that cats retain a mental representation of their owners even when they can't see them, a crucial bridge to higher cognitive processes such as forward planning and imagination. Cats are notoriously inscrutable creatures, although previous research has suggested that cats will search in the correct place if food is seen to disappear, and expect to see their owner's face if they hear their voice. It was unclear how this ability translated into real life. It is also said that cats are not as interested in their owners as dogs are, but we had doubts about this point, said Dr. Seiho Takagi at the University of Kyoto, Japan. To investigate, Takagi and colleagues recorded what happened when 50 domestic cats were individually shut inside a room and repeatedly heard their owner calling their name from outside, followed by either a stranger's voice or that of their owner, coming through a speaker on the opposite side of the room they were inhabiting. 8 blinded human observers watched these recordings and ranked the cat's level of surprise based on their ear and head movements. Only when the owner's voices suddenly appeared inside the room, implying they had somehow teleported there, did the cats appear confused. This study shows that cats can mentally map their location based on their owner's voice, said Takagi, whose research was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. So, this is just kind of a neat story, and the fact that cats have a bit more brain power than we thought. That was really cool, and that's over there on The Guardian. And then one more story, this is for Publius, wherever you are. Is nuclear power the way forward to combat the climate crisis? That's what Al Jazeera is asking. Subtitle, nuclear power can go horribly wrong and is notorious for cost overruns, but it is gaining high-profile champions. As the UN Climate Change Conference, COP26, wraps up and countries prepare to throw a lot more money towards decarbonizing their economy, the debate over the role nuclear energy should play in achieving net zero targets is heating up. Nuclear power plants have been around since the 1950s. The technology is relatively basic. Atoms are split, and the energy that's released heats water to produce steam that moves electricity-generating turbines. Of course, when things go wrong with that, 20th century technology, whether due to nature or human error, they can go horribly wrong. Chernobyl, Fukushima, Three Mile Island. Nuclear power is also notorious for cost overruns and is relatively more expensive compared to renewables like solar and wind. But hey, Publius joins as I'm talking about the nuclear story. Great. but some countries are embracing nuclear power in a big way. China, the world's biggest carbon emitter, is planning to build at least 150 nuclear reactors over the next 15 years. That is more than the entire world has built over the past 3.5 decades. French President Emmanuel Macron said this week that his country will, for the first time in decades, revive the construction of nuclear reactors to reach its net zero goal. United States Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm reportedly told an audience at COP26 the U.S. is all in on nuclear as part of its clean electricity plans. Excuse me. There are also business A-listers throwing their weight behind nuclear power. Through firms Tariff Power and Pacific Corp, billionaires Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are championing a type of advanced small modular reactor known as SMR, also known as a fast natrium reactor. Even the UN is throwing its support behind SMR as an advanced reactor technology, lauding its benefits in a recent technology brief. So, should countries go nuclear to save the planet? Allison McFarlane is a professor and director of the School of Public Policy and Global Affairs at the University of BC, British Columbia. Before that, she was chair of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Excuse me. She wrote an article for Foreign Affairs this summer on the subject of a nuclear energy and climate goal. Her arguments generated some pointed pushback as world leaders descended on Glasgow. McFarlane describes herself as neither a proponent nor a detractor of nuclear power, but an analyst who prefers to give a measured analytic response. She recently shared her views with Al Jazeera's digital Manning business editor Patricia Sabka about nations building more nuclear power plants to battle the crisis. And you can read the interview over at aljazeera.com. We're going to run out of time. We got a report from Bob Jonkman, a friend of mine from Somalia, also next to Eritrea, and in conflict with both Eritrea and Ethiopia, and I were picking up some computer equipment from a guy when my friend recognized as being from the linguistic group as himself. He asked, "You Eritrean?" Guy answered, "No, Ethiopian." Friend said, "Oh, same thing." Nearly started an international incident. So, yeah, there's no love lost between these groups, it seems. Welcome, Jeff. Welcome, welcome. So, this interview is pretty interesting. It's not super long. But they only have like 3 questions. That's the problem with 30 minutes on the air. There's not enough time to go into the detail sometimes. But we've got to play a song, because without a song, what are we? We're just like manimals. But speaking of animals, I think I've got an animal song for you. Let's see if you guys go crazy if I play this song. Song that came up with animals. Alright, we're going to kill that. I'm going to just play a song that I like that my late friend Kevin used to sing, that thankfully was recorded. This is a song called Mobile Line by, I don't know who wrote it, but my friend Kevin sang it. On ukulele. You ever take a trip, honey, on the mobile line? Hey, Lordy, mama, hey, Lordy, papa.
Unix system.
Oh man, I miss my buddy Kevin. Yeah, guys, don't be afraid to go to the doctor, especially if you have a family history of heart disease. Unless you're a woman, I guess. I've got a few stories here about how women in the United States are being jailed for random crap that they don't have any control over. First, U.S. women are being jailed for having miscarriages. This is a common story we've talked about before, but we're going to run out of time, so I'll just run through it. Yeah, if you're in Austin, the Austin Ukulele Society is a great place to go play ukes with. They meet once a month at this church. I think they're meeting in person again. For a long time, it was on Zoom, so there's a lot of things like that. Thanks a lot, Snow Dusk. BBC, we're going to run through these stories a little faster than I would like, but we just got to do what we got to do. A 21-year-old Native American woman from Oklahoma was convicted of manslaughter after having a miscarriage. People were outraged, but she wasn't alone. Brittany Pula was just 4 months pregnant when she lost her baby in the hospital in January 2020. We talked about that. This story back then, from 1973 to 2020, NAPW, which is a group that's helping her, the National Advocates of Pregnant Women, a pro-choice advocacy group, has recorded 1,600 such cases and 1,200 occurring from the last 15 years alone. So this is terrifying for anybody that could become pregnant. And a woman is facing jail time after her five children died in a house fire. Sabrina Dunnigan's 5 beaming children are the stars of her Instagram account. The tragedy unfolded in the early hours of August 6th. On her birthday, she went to pick up her boyfriend from work. Her father and his blind wife were staying in the apartment with the 5 kids. When she returned, she found the apartment in flames and futilely tried to rescue her children, suffering burns in the process. Her father and his wife couldn't get to them either, and escaped jumping out of a second-story window. 4 of the children died at the scene, and 1 died in the hospital in St. Louis. They had a funeral 2 weeks later, and then on November 3rd, 5 felony counts of endangering the life of a child in St. Clair County, and a grand jury is going to decide whether to pursue a criminal trial. Online records listed no defense attorney, and her father said, "Why are they trying to do this to her? She's lost all she can lose already. Why they want to take the rest away, meaning herself? She doesn't have anything left." Ms. Dunnigan said her children didn't deserve their gruesome deaths, and she missed them. So, it's just terrible. This is just really scary. I wish I had more time. Why did I pick so many stories? Shouldn't have. That's my fault. St. Jude has $5.2 billion in the bank, but doesn't provide everything that it promised. You know, it doesn't really help people. Oh, maybe that's it, X1. It might be just a scare story. That might be why it was just one piece. That's why I thought the miscarriage story was stronger, because they had that reference. The group that is helping out the woman in the story. Apparently, there's, you know, thousands of these cases. I don't have time to give you. Go to ProPublica. Hey, welcome, Oak 3. On ProPublica, they have a great article about St. Jude. They basically have amassed a large amount of money, and they have very strict rules on how they dole out the money and take care of people. But while the kids are getting their care, the parents are often having to sell everything they own just to keep paying the bills, like paying for their cell phones or keeping the lights or the rent due, stuff like that. So it's really tough and scary. I was just really surprised. I thought St. Jude took care of people, but in the United States, where for-profit healthcare is the master, yeah, dollars win. Sunissa Lee got attacked with pepper spray. Southern California is trying to fight prevent forest fires, but people don't like burning down trees. And we're out of time. I wish that we had more, but such is life. Thank you so much for being here. I'll be back on Monday, and hopefully I'll curate the news a little better so we don't have this rush.
Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 ATC. Talk to you then.